In turning to the question of anger or indignation, and I use these two different terms because we have to begin thinking about the possibility of the use of the energy which often manifests itself as anger as a potentially useful or positive energy when understood in a different way. And the term indignation comes close. I don't think it does a complete job, but it hints at the possibility. And part of our introduction will be to try to prepare ourselves for looking at a distinction. The background to what we'll be looking at in this very important notion of anger and indignation and its transformation or its healing or its proper use is that in many ways this is the most vivid and most commented on energy of what Aquinas calls the orectic faculty, what Evagrius and Cassian describe as the thumakon, borrowing this language from Plato and the Neoplatonists. The idea is that there is this powerful energy that has the capability of reaching out in effective and even in positive and constructive ways when the task is difficult, when there's a mountain to be climbed, when there's some very difficult project to be undertaken. It's the energy that wants to do that, which is difficult. In some ways, we could describe it perhaps as a kind of zeal, and we'll look at that word in particular as the antidote to or proper use of this energy when it becomes warped into acidia. But another way of viewing it is the capacity to respond positively and effectively when there is a threat. That is to say, to ward off anger, to protect and to defend the self or the other, not primarily in order to destroy that which is attacking, but in order to safeguard that which is good, that which is proper. In many ways, the mystery, as it were, the icon that lies behind the proper use of this energy is, I think, to be sought in the icon of Christ in the garden. And that's why we'll be seeing this in many places and in many different forms. And again, especially when we look next time at the energy of acidia, or the energy that's misused as acidia. The image is that Christ is subject to the misuse of thumos, or anger. He's been betrayed through jealousy. He's surrounded by people exhibiting rage, and yet at the same time, and even betrayal, with Judas offering him the completely opposite kiss, not of friendship, but of handing over to the enemy. And in the midst of all of that, although that's not obvious in this icon, Christ reaches out in healing towards the servant who has been hit by Peter, who's had his ear cut off. There's a powerful metaphor, a powerful image in this possibility to respond to threat, to anger, even to the possibility of personal harm with healing, with assistance, with help. And so as you drop down on this initial page, you'll see that the terms we'll be looking at are two different Greek terms for anger or indignation, the terms thumos and orge, and the virtues of gentleness, praoutes, and of help or assistance, boethia. Let's drop down now to the section on indignation and anger, section 2 or part 2. What we find here is that the two words that I have distinguished between thumos and orge are indeed in the ancient tradition, or particularly in the case of thumos, seen as being a very primordial, a very fundamental energy. It's associated with the heart or with the feeling that one experiences in the chest, a kind of a rising up or even a literally a bubbling up. There's a sense that thumos expresses itself in a kind of effervescence or boiling that happens inside the self when there is a difficulty to be responded to, or in particular when there is a threat. And so in the Timaeus and in the Republic, Plato depicts this energy as positive, as the source of strength, as a source of a kind of a valor or a courage which is capable of controlling the part of the self that tends to get us into most trouble, the desiring part. Now, as we've seen, that solution has certain problems associated with it. But if we shift then from the olden, from the classical use of these terms, or that term, to the use in the New and Old Testament, we discover that a distinction between orge and thumos is perhaps a little artificial. In the scriptures, one cannot say that thumos is used as the more neutral, potentially positive energy of indignation, which I would contend it can be used or seen as being, particularly in Evagrius and in many of the Greek Christian fathers, and orge being anger or wrath or fury, the more negative or devolved form of this energy. That, I think, has to be admitted, is not a distinction that we find in the scriptures, but there is a distinction between these terms in the later mystical tradition, and I wanted to highlight two different words that could be used to describe this energy, which are found in the Bible, and which will be distinguished a little later on in the mystical tradition. Let's turn now, finally, to the idea of boethia, number 3, the third section on this introductory page. And that is, I believe, one of the forms of this energy when it is used well. That is effectively what Christ is offering in the garden when he is attacked. His response is to offer assistance, offer help. Most powerfully, of course, in what he is doing in the garden, giving himself up as the ultimate form of divine assistance. Fascinatingly, for those who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, the ancient phrase that is used at the beginning of all the offices, except for the office of vigils in the morning, O God, come to my assistance, O Lord, make haste to help me, Deus in adjutorium meum intende, Domine ad adjuvandum me festina, in Latin, that ad adjuvandum is in fact the Latin equivalent of the Greek word boetheia. Assistance, help. One is asking for the divine assistance, and Christ in the garden stands for the assistance which God sends. Christ is himself the aid God offers to our need, to our plight. Christ is, as it were, the shining example of the proper use of this energy of the thumakon. Christ is the one who offers assistance even in threat, even under attack, who gives us the aid and ultimately gives us the victory. Because, of course, the thumakon is regarded as the source of the warlike virtues. The notion of spiritual warfare will be an image with which we'll conclude this section. And it is to be understood not in the sense of destruction or of reaching out for the annihilation of the enemy, but for the offering of the aid that is necessary in order to overcome the particular difficulty that exists. And that's what one finds in the ancient understanding of and definition of this term boetheia. It means, in classical Greek, aid or assistance. It has a very energetic or positive sense. It means to run on a call to help, to hasten to the help of the oppressed. And then it comes to mean to help in a more general sense. It can be used in a military or in a medical sense, in the sense of boetheia, can be help or assistance. It's interesting that the Latin form of this, ad adjuvandum me festina, is also used in modern medicine. Adjuvant chemotherapy means a form of therapy that helps or assists in the overcoming of an illness. It's a modality or a substance that somehow aids or complements or facilitates another drug that is being used to treat, particularly to treat a cancer. So there is even embedded within our English usage the notion of an assistance, a kind of a helping. In the Old Testament, in particular, God responds with boetheia. God is the helper, the boethos of his people, but Eve is the helper of Adam. There is a more, if you will, gentle sense of this assistance. It's the assistance that helps one through daily life and which is offered in community, in relationship. God is ultimately the helper of his people, and that's what we see in the New Testament. Christ offers assistance through miracles of healing. Paul responds with boetheia to the Macedonians' plea for help, and eschatologically, Christologically, Christ is giving assistance to those who pray. The risen Christ is the great help, the assistance of God. And in many ways, in number 4, gentleness, praoutes, which we see in particular in the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, This is what is often translated as meekness, but it does not mean a kind of hiding timidity. It means a deliberate and positive response of gentleness, responding to violence, responding to oppression, responding to difficult circumstances with a gentleness that does not perpetuate into the next generation the experience of abuse. It's the capacity to respond even to violent things in a way that gives hope. I choose to act gently towards others even though I myself have not been offered gentleness. And this is the term in the Old Testament that is used to describe the Anawim, the downtrodden, the humble, the gentle, the lowly of Yahweh, who were Yahweh's particular concern. So these are the terms, the notions, the ideas that hover around the necessity of the possibility, or the possibility, of a transformation of this energy of thumos, its use in a positive and constructive way, particularly to choose to act gently and compassionately, to act in a way that offers help and assistance, even when we are threatened or confronted with difficulty. And we'll see these themes taken up in a particular way by Evagrius and then by Cassian.